Good morning. I call this regularly scheduled meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission to order. It is just about 10 o'clock on February 3rd. And my name is Julie Fedorchak. I'm here all by myself because one of my colleagues, Brian Crosius, is down testifying in the legislature on a bill that's important to the commission. So we are going to be in recess until approximately 10:30, at which time we hope that Commissioner Crosius is finished with his duties down in the legislative hearing, and we will get underway with the regular agenda. Thank you. Good morning. Julie Fedorchak here with the North Dakota Public Service Commission. We are reconvening our regularly scheduled commission meeting. Again, I'm Julie Fedorchak, and with me now are Randy Christman and Brian Crosius. Thank you, Brian, for performing so ably down in the legislative session and giving testimony on the commission's behalf on net metering, which is an important issue. Took a little longer than we all anticipated, but we are now ready to get going. I do not have any opening comments, but I'll ask Commissioner Christman if he has any.
I'll pass to him.
Okay.
No opening comments.
All righty. We will move right on into the consent agenda. There are a number of items on consent in the previous minutes. I move they be approved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Sensing no further discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. All right, moving into the regular agenda, I have a couple items. First, I move the commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law and order in One Oak Bakken Pipeline LLC pump station additions, McKenzie and Dunn counties, citing application case number PU-20-018.
Second.
Thank you, Brian. So on January 10th of 2020, One Oak Bakken Pipeline filed with the PSC a combined application for a certificate and route permit for the addition of two pump stations to its existing Bear Creek NGL pipeline project. These pump stations will be located in McKenzie and Dunn counties. We went forward and scheduled an informal hearing, but that was originally to take place on April 1st, but in March, One Oak filed for a motion for continuance of the informal hearing, and so we put it on hold and then heard back from them in the fall that they were ready to go. So we scheduled an informal hearing to take place on December 11th to address the application and the waiver application. We held that informal hearing on December 11th as scheduled. We also did have a notice of opportunity for hearing that went out. To give a little background on this project, the Big Gulp pump station, it's basically two pump stations that they want to add to this existing NGL line, and it deviates slightly, both of them, from the original corridor, so they needed to come for consideration for the commission. The two stations are named, sound like a, I think Brian called it a Western movie. The first one is called the Big Gulch Pump Station. It consists of three 2,000 horsepower electrically driven pumps that will be contained within buildings located adjacent to the existing Bear Creek NGL pipeline. They have a lease in place for that site. The Stony Johnny Butte Pump Station consists of two 2,000 horsepower pumps that will also be contained to buildings on that site adjacent to the Bear Creek NGL pipeline. They do not have a lease in place for that second site, but they have identified the owner as Arrowfield Services, and they are working to secure a lease for that site. The addition of the pump stations will increase the maximum capacity of the pipeline from 14,000 to 80,000 barrels of NGL per day in the existing Bear Creek NGL pipeline. The cost of this project is about $20 million. The Big Gulch Pump Station and Stony Johnny Butte Pump Station will both be located within the existing 1-mile study area for the original pipeline. and analyzed, or let's see, the Big Gulp pump station will extend approximately 375 feet outside the existing corridor, and Stony Johnny Butte will extend about 200 feet outside the existing corridor. In addition to all the previous studies for the existing pipeline, One Oak conducted natural resource surveys on the Big Gulp pump station parcel and the Stony Johnny Butte pump station parcel. They conducted Class 1 cultural resource literature reviews and have been in consultation with the State Historical Preservation Office, and they have concurred with a no historic properties affected on both Big Gulp and Stony Johnny, Big Gulch. Oh, no. And Stony, I hope I don't get the giggles. Stony Johnny Butte pump station.
You're wrecking the movie.
Oh, my goodness. All right. They also did the aquatic fields studies and aquatic resource delineations and biological and threatened endangered species surveys in this area. They evaluated the study area for exclusion areas, avoidance areas, selection criteria, and policy criteria. There are no exclusion areas in the survey area or avoidance areas. So in terms of measures to minimize impact... Oh. Okay, I'm done. They will have all of the SCADA system on there to monitor it. And I think... See, they're coordinating with local authorities using the one call system. And with that, I think all of the items are in order to proceed. Most importantly, on the area where they do not have the lease agreement, they may not begin construction until they have that in place. And that is one of the ordering conditions. So with that, I think we're ready to go with this. It's an important project. It uses an existing line that's already in the ground. Adds significant capacity to that line for the transport of NGLs, which really helps with the overall gas processing needs in the state, the gas capture, the flaring issues, and all of that. So it's really a smart project, and I'm pleased that the company is making these investments, significant investments, on this infrastructure and prepared to move forward upon the completion of our permitting.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I would have thought instead of saying be prepared to move forward, I thought you'd say to saddle up and get started.
Oh. Is there any further discussion?
Yeah.
Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
And if I had a whip sound, I would crack it right now. All right. My second order, which isn't nearly as funny. I move the commission adopt the order in Senex Pipeline LLC amend certificate number 202 and route permit 212, citing application case number PU-20-399 and case number PU-20-448.
Second.
Okay, this is an application to amend the corridor certificate and route permit for Senex Pipeline. This is, we issued this certificate in September of 2018, and September of 2020, they filed some initial changes post-construction, and then in November filed a number of additional changes. There are about 19 route changes in total. We issued a notice of opportunity for hearing on these changes, providing until January 15th for comments and requests for hearing, and we did not receive any requests for the hearing. They have consulted with a number of agencies on these changes and deviations, and have received that information back, in particular from North Dakota DEQ and Parks and Rec, and that's been incorporated here. Most importantly, Sendix indicates that no exclusion or avoidance areas were crossed by the route changes, nor are any exclusion or avoidance areas located within the amended corridor locations. Impacts to Shell Creek and the surrounding wetland were avoided using horizontal directional drilling, and the route adjustments there were installed at depths greater than 65 feet below the Shell Creek bed. So with that, I think this is also, this motion and order are also ready to go, and I'm be happy to support them.
Motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I will just say that this work, although, you know, I'm sure on behalf of the pipeline company it may seem tedious and stuff, I think it's a good demonstration to the citizens out there that when we approve a siting certificate for someone, it's not like, well, now we've approved it because they said they were going to do such and such, and then they're just home free to do whatever they want. If deviations occur and stuff like that, there is follow-up on it. And so I think it's an excellent process, and this highlights it.
Good point, Randy. Yep.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. And my final motion, I move the commission issue the notice of hearing in Keith and Deanna Kessler versus Minnesota Power, a division of Elite Incorporated complaint, case number PU-20-194.
Second.
So on April 23rd of last year, 2020, Keith and Deanna Kessler filed a complaint that one of their residences, referred to as the Section 15 home, was not identified as an occupied residence during the siting process for Elite Incorporated's Bison 4 wind project in Oliver County, North Dakota. And this caused, potentially causing turbine number 441 to be constructed within 1,400 feet of the Section 15 home. The issues in this matter are whether this structure was an occupied residence at the time of us issuing our order, granting the certificate of site compatibility for this Bison 4 wind farm. If the Section 15 structure was an occupied residence at the time that we issued this order, and does placement of the turbine 441 violate our order, and if so, what remedies are appropriate? And at the public hearing, did Minnesota Power withhold information relating to the Section 15 structure from the commission that Minnesota Power should have communicated to the commission, and if so, what remedies are appropriate? The hearing is scheduled for Thursday, March 25th at 10 a.m. in the commission hearing room at the 12th floor of the state capitol. And with that, I'm pleased that we are finally moving forward on this complaint and hopefully coming to a resolution in coming months.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. And that concludes my portfolio. Commissioner Chrisman, you have a couple items.
Yes, I move the commission approve the surety bond filed on January 13th, 2021 in Velva Wind Farm, LLC, 12-megawatt wind energy conversion system, McHenry County, decommissioning plan and cost, case number PU-10-109.
Second.
On January 13th, Velva Wind Farm, which is a subsidiary of Acciona Wind Energy USA, filed a decommissioning financial assurance in the form of a surety bond. The surety bond was issued for $4,728,768, which is the commission-approved decommissioning amount for this facility. The Velva facility consists of 18 turbines with a nameplate capacity of approximately 12 megawatts. The Velva facility was operational on December 31st of 2005, and having been operational now for 10 years without a site certificate, it is required to file a form of financial assurance that this commission finds acceptable. The term of the bond in this case is 17 years, beginning December 23rd, 2020, thereby implying a total useful life of the facility of 30 years, with then approximately 2 years for decommissioning activities. The bond was issued by Euler Hermes, North America, insurance company, which is wholly owned by Allianz, I believe it's pronounced, and has a credit rating of AA by S&P Global Ratings. The staff has reviewed the Valva facility surety bond and recommends approval, as do I.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Dactel Communications, LLC, designated eligible carrier, application case number PU-21-41.
Second.
On January 21st, Dactel filed this application for designation as an eligible telecommunications carrier for the purpose of receiving FCC Rural Digital Opportunity Fund funding in specified census blocks in rural areas in North Dakota. The FCC, in this case, requires that Dactel, as well as all the other successful bidders in that RDOF auction, be designated as an ETC by June 7th in order to qualify for the RDOF funding. The issues to be considered in this matter are whether the applicant qualifies for designation as an ETC, what ETC universal service support areas should be designated, and whether designation is in the public interest. So those interested are invited to comment on the application in writing. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request. Comments and requests for hearings must be received here by March 15th. And if deemed appropriate, this commission can determine the matter without a formal hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Maybe one thing I'll throw in. This is the second one. We had Beck's application maybe last meeting or the one previous to that. And I'm of the multiple successful RDOF bidders that had plans for various areas of North Dakota. I believe we've gotten a number of new ETC applications in just the last few days. So I'm hopeful the rest of them will be coming here pretty soon.
One question in that regard, Randy. Do you know how many total we'll be receiving for this?
How many companies?
Yeah. Need to get this designation.
I have it, but I don't recall it off the top of my head. I think it is between 5 and 10.
And did we have, did the company from Minnesota successfully bid in North Dakota, the one that's been causing some consternation and concerns? I forget the name of it.
Yes.
Do we have that application yet?
I think that one came in like yesterday. I have not even looked at it, but I think it's here.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
And that, Madam Chair, concludes my portfolio.
Thank you. Commissioner Crosius.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My first order, I move the commission adopt the order in Montana-Dakota Utilities Company Deferred Accounting Electric COVID-19 application, case number PU-20-191.
Second.
Before I go into the comments on this order, we have five orders on the agenda. They are all COVID-19 related. My plan is to not repeat the same thing over and over again, so my comments on this order will apply to the following four as well. On April 24th, 2020, Montana-Dakota Utilities Company, MDU, filed an application for deferred accounting treatment to track the financial impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic. Approval would allow the utility to track and defer these financial impacts as a regulatory asset and would afford possible recovery in future utility rates. On June 10th, 2020, the Commission issued a notice of opportunity for consolidated hearing that provided until July 11th, 2020 for receiving hearing requests and written comments. No response was received. The notice identified the issue to be considered is whether the Commission should grant, and we have grand, but that should be grant, deferred accounting treatment for the financial impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic. On July 23, 2020, the commission discussed the matter with MDU and commission staff during an informal hearing. MDU is requesting to track items of increased expenses as well as items of reduced revenues beginning March 13, 2020. That is a request from the company. Having considered this matter, the commission finds that COVID-19 pandemic has led to circumstances that are unprecedented in recent history, unforeseeable, and extraordinary, and the application for deferred accounting treatment should be approved if this order is in fact approved by the commission when we take the vote. However, compelling reasoning has not been provided to justify granting deferred accounting treatment prior to the date of filing, which again is April 24th. Therefore, MDU's application for deferred accounting treatment would be approved upon approval of this order to begin effective April 24th, 2020. And again, to point out, the request from the company was March 13th, 2020, but the order would be effective April 24th, 2020. And that also MDU must track items of increased and decreased expenses and increased and decreased revenues that are a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. And that's an important point as well, point number two, because the way I see it, COVID-19 without question, in all likelihood, I should say, has driven costs up in various areas. But at the same time, I think it has provided an opportunity for companies like MDU and the utilities we regulate to also find efficiencies in their processes and procedures. When an organization is challenged in such a way that it has occurred during the COVID-19 pandemic, certainly can increase expenses, but at the same time, it can also lead to increased efficiencies, as I referred to. One other point I would like to make in terms of how these expenses are tracked, oftentimes when ratepayers, households, hear of something like this, the assumption may be that the burden falls on them. That is not a given. There's no guarantee that recovery will occur to begin with. We would have to find the items as a commission to be acceptable and the request acceptable. But one thing during the COVID-19 pandemic that we do know is that household usage was actually up during the pandemic because more people were at home for obvious reasons during the quarantine period in particular. Energy usage when you're at home is higher. The lights are on, appliances are on, et cetera. Energy usage was down for larger customers as a rule. Not across the board, but as a rule, because they weren't possibly open for business or manufacturing or producing goods at a reduced rate. Therefore, their energy usage was down as well. So how this applies to the various rate classes is yet to be determined. So again, it isn't a given that this would even fall on households, in my opinion. It remains to be seen and something that would have to be discussed. I believe that would conclude my comments on the order. And again, I'm in favor of approving the deferred accounting treatment so we can consider, again, not only increased costs, but also decreased costs as well, again, as a result of what I hope are at least some efficiencies that have emerged through the pandemic. And just to close my comments again, will apply to the following four cases as well.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Thank you, Ryan, for outlining that. Just from my perspective, I wanted to give a bit of a shout out to our companies. I think they've done a good job through COVID. I appreciated that they initiated their own moratorium on shutoffs and worked with us on that, but it really started with them when COVID first hit. And then when things settled down a little bit, they came back and said we should resume our normal billing, which would be for each most appropriate, and they did. what to do with these debts out there, and you know, potentially could be in other states applied and socialized to all the ratepayers. So I think that we've taken a really strong approach and worked with the companies to encourage them to come up with payment plans with their customers to keep them as current as they're able and just have financial conditions. So I think that's the best approach.
How things are going in the utility industry. Sorry, some of that was probably not real clear, but now my mic is on. So I think that this is the right approach, and like Commissioner Krosh has said, I think we will be scrutinizing closely what kinds of items ultimately are included in these deferred accounting and determine what ultimately is appropriate for recovery.
You touched on something that I think is really, really important. I'm going to use it as a segue into when you mentioned the different states, and some are certainly facing a more drastic situation in terms of late bills, customers that have fallen behind because they're out of work, and that type of thing. And I don't believe we'll experience that to the same magnitude in North Dakota. And I think that is a reflection on steps that our governor and the governor's office have taken throughout the COVID pandemic to keep our economy going, and not just to protect lives, but also to protect livelihoods. And so I don't envy the governor's office and the governor in particular for having to navigate a very challenging period of time, because no matter what you do, you're going to be criticized. There isn't a perfect path that fits every single situation, and you will be invariably criticized. But I think just the strength of North Dakota's economy throughout the pandemic, and that it has proved to be so resilient, not without challenges, and not without a slowdown. That's certainly occurred, and you know, my heart goes out to cafe owners and other businesses that had to shut down, but not to digress. But I think that also is a reflection in terms of, or will be reflected in, I don't believe we will see the same problems with customer billing, the aging, that other states will, and we'll find out. We'll see what the numbers look like. We can compare them later. But correctly said, you know, kudos to the utility companies for doing their part. And also, I just wanted to recognize that I think the governor's office and Governor Burgum have done quite a nice job of getting the state navigating some difficult waters for the state.
I agree, most certainly.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, my next order, I move the commission adopt the order on Northern States Power Company Deferred Accounting Electric COVID-19 application case number PU-20-192.
Second.
Okay, and again, I don't have any further comments on this order nor the following three.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, I move the commission adopt the order in Otter Tail Power Company Deferred Accounting COVID-19 application case number PU-20-193.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, my next motion, I move the commission adopt the order in Montana Dakota Utilities Company deferred accounting gas COVID-19 application case number PU-20-219.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission adopt the order in Northern States Power Company deferred accounting gas COVID-19 application case number PU-20-220.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, and I'm quite certain that is a record for four motions in terms of time.
I would guess so.
1 minute, approximately. Okay, my final item, I move the commission suspend the rates, reduce the application fee to $10,000, and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Otter Tail Power Company 2021 Renewable Resource Cost Recovery Adjustment Factor Rates, case number PU-21-30.
Second.
On January 19th, 2021, Otter Tail Power Company filed an application to change its renewable resource cost recovery rates. The new rates reflect projected costs through March 2022 related to investments in the Ashtabula and Langdon Wind Energy facilities and the Maricourt Wind Energy Project. Otter Tail proposes to increase the renewable resources cost recovery from the current charge of 5.637% to 11.825% effective April 1st, 2021. The effect of the rate change on the bill for a residential customer using 1,000 kilowatt hours per month is an increase of $4.24 a month. That is what the company is seeking. Those interested are invited to comment on the application in writing. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by March 12th, 2021. If deemed appropriate, the commission can determine the matter without a hearing. For more information, anyone interested can call the Public Service Commission here at the State Capitol at 701-328-2400. And the issues that we will consider in this proceeding, I should have noted those, whether the investments and associated costs for the resources qualify for recovery, whether the incurred costs are reasonable and prudent, and whether the rate adjustments are consistent with the terms of the MDU tariff.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
And that concludes my agenda items, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Commissioner Crotius. Moving on to announcements, we have a work session this afternoon on PU-20-379 MDU gas rate increase. And we will just be discussing with our advisory staff this case and maybe highlighting some of the big issues that we see. On Thursday of this week, so tomorrow, we have an informal hearing on PSC versus Quest Corporation, case number 20-442, PSC versus Quest show cause. And then next week, February 11th, we have a quarterly meeting with the Petroleum Council to just discuss various policy issues with those members. And then it's pretty standard through the rest of the month and a few other items looking out into March that I won't go into at this point. So we'll take a brief recess to take questions from the press, followed by a short break, and followed by the admin portion of the meeting. This meeting is now in recess.